Congregation may be seated. Let me welcome you in the graduating class of 2016. It's my special privilege tonight to welcome you here, to welcome our graduates, our staff, parents, dedicated and invested so much in these students, family, friends, alumni. We welcome you all in the Savior's name. This night is a milestone for our students. We want to congratulate them and celebrate with them and with their families. And some of our graduates, especially high school students, have been with us for maybe 1 or 2 years. Some have been here through the course of their high school. Others have been here since early elementary school and have come a long way many years through Whitfield. And so we celebrate with them and acknowledge God's grace throughout this school year, bringing them to this point, and we rejoice with them. It is our prayer that they would know God's richest blessing now and in the future, God's blessing upon their life. Our prayer would be that of Numbers 6, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to you, and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is our prayer for our graduates. The grade 8 class will graduate to high school. The grade 12 graduates, having completed their course, take their leave from us to pursue further education. And though they are finishing their time here, it is just the beginning. The beginning of life and another phase of their life, another stage. And by no means have they arrived, far from it. And there is so much more to learn. And we hope that we have prepared them for the journey well, that they would keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. They have not arrived. They have not already been made perfect, but we pray that they would actively press on toward that mark and forgetting those things which are behind and seeking that prize, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Represented here behind me, so many gifts, so many talents, God-given abilities, so much potential for the future. And we want to encourage our students tonight to press on. Don't waste your life, but press on and make good use of the opportunities that the Lord has given you. Don't forget the giver of the gifts, the Lord himself, who has gifted you, given you talents to use for his glory. And so always we encourage our students to be looking away from themselves and looking unto Jesus, who is the founder, the author, the beginner, and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross for us. We congratulate and honor all of them tonight, acknowledging their accomplishments. And so as we just commit our time to the Lord in prayer, and before I ask Dr. Saunders to come and lead us in prayer, I ask that you would kindly turn off your cell phones or put them on silent. I know you want to take pictures tonight, but if you could do that, that would be much appreciated. And we're going to bow our heads together in prayer now. I'll ask Mr. Saunders to come and lead us.
Let's seek the Lord, please, in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, it is in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we bow in thy holy presence tonight. And at the very beginning of our service, we pray that we will be conscious of the nearness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit would help us to drink in, to take in, Lord, all that has been accomplished in this past year. Lord, please receive the thanksgiving from our hearts. We know, Father, that we are only sinners that have been saved by your rich grace. And we ask tonight that as the young people rejoice in their accomplishment of coming to this graduation, they would acknowledge the one who has given all gifts. As the apostle reminded the Corinthians, that we have no right to boast, for all we have has been given to us. Therefore, help us, Lord, to worship with our soul, to praise with all our hearts. Please, Lord, take these youth, separate them unto thy purpose and will for their life. Guide them unmistakably. Lord, defeat the devil in their lives, for we know he has a plan to destroy their witness, to nullify their testimony. But, O God, we pray tonight that these youth would be separated unto the gospel of God, devoted unto the cause of Jesus Christ, to make a difference, Lord, in this time. They have been raised up to live for Christ in this generation. O Lord, fulfill that purpose, we pray, in their lives. Help us, we ask, not to forget them in prayer. We hold them up tonight, and let us do so continually. So, dear Father, this is a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving, a time that is happy. And we pray that we will be very, very much aware of the nearness of our Savior to us tonight in all that is said and all that is done. Thankful for our teaching staff that have invested so much in the lives of these young people. Lord, encourage them in their own hearts. Help them to see in the young people they have been teaching this year the fruit of their labor. And Father, and continue to bless them mightily. We are thankful for every parent, for every guardian, for everyone who has invested financially and practically, and most important, spiritually, in the lives of our youth. Lord, we have been granted a great privilege of teaching them, and I pray that these things will not be in vain. We give thanks, Lord, again, for every good and perfect gift that we know comes down from our Father in heaven. So give us joy tonight, receive our thanksgiving, and bless every part of our service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Looking forward to this special night. The students and their families have already enjoyed a wonderful meal downstairs, for which we are thankful as we celebrate. And I want to thank those who organized that and prepared that meal. It's very much appreciated. We're going to have the presentation of the grade 8 diplomas to the graduates. And so I would ask the grade 8 students to please stand again. And Dr. Saunders and myself will go down. Badra Daniel. Martha Fissaha. Nathan Fraser with honors. Gabriel Hashul with honors. Crystal Jones with honors. Alea LaFleur. Bema Jose Cabina. Joshua Schultz with honors. Krishan Thavaraja with honors. Grace Vandenhoevel with honors. Max Wang with honors. Wyvern Wang with honors. Abigail White with honors. David Yakub with honors. Let's have a big round of applause for the class of 2016. Be seated. I'm going to ask Ms. Robinson, the grade 8 homeroom teacher, to come now and present the special awards for grade 8.
Good evening, everyone. It's a privilege to introduce to you the 2016 class of grade 8 graduates. They have worked hard this year to achieve this honor that they received tonight, and I could not be more proud of them, as are, I'm sure, all of you. It's been a blessing to have these students in my class. As you can see, it's a relatively small class of 14 students, and they are known for being a quiet and well-behaved class. They assured me, though, that they are not quiet outside of class, and over the year I got to see their personalities shine, especially whenever we played games or did activities together. This grade 8 class is an exceptionally kind and helpful group of young people, and I was especially happy to see how much they were willing to help and serve others this year. I saw how they were able to show leadership and patience with their grade 1 reading buddies. I saw how they cheered each other on in sports and team activities. And I also observed how they showed care and concern when someone else was hurt or sick. Through experiences like this and through their academic challenges, I have been able to see them grow and mature. It has been a particular blessing to see them grow spiritually, to see them eager to learn more about God, and also to observe how their growing understanding of God has affected the way they live their lives. I encourage them to keep growing in their knowledge of God and His Word and develop their relationship with Him. It is the most important knowledge that they gain and can take with them and has lasting value in eternity. It is also my privilege tonight to give special honor to whom special honor is due. There are particular students in this class who have distinguished themselves academically, in a certain subject, or in their personal character. First, we have the Academic Achievement Awards. The first award is for overall academic achievement. There are two students in this class who have particularly distinguished themselves in their academics and have maintained a high average in all subjects throughout the year. Both of these students have worked hard to maintain their grades. Both went above and beyond what was asked for their projects and assignments. Their excellence and dedication is to be commended. These two students finished within 2% of each other, so we commend both for their exceptional work tonight. So, for the award for academic achievement, we present, with an average percentage of 87%, Gabriel Hashul, and with an average percentage of 89%, Max Wang. Thank you. There are also a few special presentations for excellence in a particular subject. And this year, we have an award for excellence in French, and that is to be awarded to Wyvern Wang. This year, Mrs. Astute and I will be giving a unique award for excellence in the fine arts. There's one student who has excelled in both visual arts and music. I teach the student in the visual arts, and I know she has worked hard on developing her artistic skills both in and outside of school. She strives for excellence in every project, demonstrates great talent and skill, and shows great creativity and dedication to her work.
In music class, this student has shown remarkable progress on her instrument with each year that passes. She plays with both technical proficiency and musicality, which leads to her success on every playing performance. She demonstrates an excellent understanding of all music theory discussed in class and actively pursues musical performing opportunities in her life outside of school.
Because of this excellence in both music and visual arts, the award for excellence in fine arts is being given to Crystal Jones. Field, not only for developing athletic skills, but for developing good character. And at this time, Mr. Mike Lade will now present the Sportsmanship Awards.
This year's recipients of the Sportsmanship Award haven't needed to be taught what it means to be devoted to athletics. They've both demonstrated focus and drive to keep getting better, never resting on their laurels. I know it has been both Ms. Jew's and my pleasure to work together with these students to championships and hard losses. But more importantly, these students have demonstrated an understanding that it's not about championships and hard losses, but about the bonds and relationships we build. This year's winners are Krishan Thavaraja and Nathan Fraser.
This last award is meant to commend exemplary citizenship. It is the Howard Saunders Award. It is given to students who work diligently and consistently throughout the year. They are respectful to authority and to their classmates. They also seek ways to help their classmates and their school. Most importantly, they show leadership in their Christian character. They demonstrate the kind of servant leadership that Jesus Christ himself demonstrated while he was on earth. As teachers, we have observed excellence in these qualities in not just one, but three of the grade 8 graduates. Their fellow classmates have also commented and expressed their appreciation for the leadership and citizenship of these students. So, because of their exemplary citizenship, we present the Howard Saunders Award to Nathan Fraser, Kristen Thavaraja, and Max Wang.
want to say a special word of thanks to Miss Robinson for the homeroom, being the homeroom teacher this year, and all the work that she has done with this class, and for all the Rotary teachers, the time they've invested. We appreciate very much our teaching staff, and we congratulate the grade 8 class once again. At this point in time, I want to recognize some staff members who have been with us for some years. I have a few presentations here that I want to make and pay tribute to these teachers who have spent the last 10 years of their life at Whitfield, and we appreciate very much all their labors. It's my delight to recognize two teachers from the math department who have both served for 10 years, Mrs. Jennifer Browett and Mr. Tony Gomez. Mrs. Browett teaches high school math, data management, personal finance, accounting, and always goes above and beyond the call of duty. Her door is always open after school if students need extra help and tutoring. And she is there all through the week and prepares these students well, not only for their class and for their exams, but also has them write many competitions and enters them in competitions with the University of Waterloo, and is so diligent in organizing these from year to year. As well as that, she organizes the chess club, which many of the students participate in at lunchtime and after school, and we want to thank her. She heads up the math department. She's very diligent at reviewing curriculum, meticulous and organized, always approaches her work with diligence every day, and it's my joy to present this plaque to her. So I'd ask her to come forward at this time. The plaque reads, to Mrs. Jennifer Browett, to acknowledge with grateful appreciation 10 years of dedicated service. Also want to pay tribute to Mr. Gomez. He also works in the math department, teaching high school subjects, grade 11 and 12 physics, grade 12 calculus, grade 11 and 12 functions. One day I had to supply his class, and the board was so filled with formulas, it would take a genius to decipher them. I was just glad I was not taking that class, or teaching the class for that matter. Mr. Gomez is known for his witty one-liners, his dry sense of humor, his walk-on parts in the school play, with increased fame every time. And we appreciate so much these 10 years of dedicated service that Mr. Gomez has put in at Whitfield. And so I'd ask him to come forward at this time. He just told me next he's going to run for Prime Minister. To acknowledge with grateful appreciation 10 years of dedicated service. We have two more special presentations at this time for those who have served for 25 years. And I would ask Mrs. Saunders to come forward at this time and pay tribute to Mrs. Tracy Sablocki.
Folks, it is my great pleasure tonight to be able to pay tribute to one of our veteran staff members who has now been with us for 25 years. Whitfield opened its doors in 1989 when Ms. Ruth Slade, our first principal, and myself welcomed a little band of 16 students ranging from kindergarten to grade four. We were accommodated in the basement of our previous church on Warden Avenue, just south of Ellesmere, along with the army of volunteers helping us to set up and outfit our new school. There was a young woman named Tracy Johnson, or as we know her today, Tracy Zablocki. Tracy had lots of experience teaching children throughout her teenage years in Sunday school, and at the time that Whitfield began, she was going through her teacher training. We had no idea how quickly Whitfield would grow, and by the second year, our enrollment had doubled, making it necessary to hire more teachers. And I remember Ms. Slade and I saying that we wished we could have Tracy on board with us, but she still had another year of training to complete. We longed to have Tracy because she had already proved herself in so many ways. Her interaction with children, her dedication, her sense of responsibility. We were impressed especially with her love for the Lord and her steady, reliable, hardworking attitude. By the following year, Whitfield's enrollment had doubled once more. But just prior to that, Tracy requested that she be able to do her practicum with us, and so we were eager to comply and subsequently delighted when she applied to teach with us full-time in the fall of 1991. Versatility was and is a great strength of this teacher who has been with us for 25 years. Tracy has taught many grades and many subjects, and we were never worried about her capability to handle whatever course we needed to have taught. We knew Tracy would move mountains to make sure that the course was done to the very best of her ability. And Tracy continues to employ the same commendable work ethic, and I'm very excited about her new position that she occupies at the school as academic supervisor in the middle school program, as well as continuing to be the grade five homeroom teacher. It has been my pleasure to work with Tracy for these 25 years. She has become an important pillar in Whitfield, and I am delighted that we are paying special tribute to her tonight. Thank you, Tracy.
Have a beautiful plaque for Mrs. Zablocki here in commemoration of 25 years of outstanding service at Whitfield Christian Schools. We thank God for your faithful dedication, godly example, and love for the Lord. And I want to add my appreciation to that as well of Mrs. Saunders. I appreciate so much the dedication of this lady. This time last year, I went through a very difficult time to conclude the year, but this lady in this school year has helped me tremendously. She is so devoted to the work at Whitfield, and I really, really appreciate all that she's done in this school year and these 25 years of service. So we recognize her tonight. We have another staff member who has been with us for 25 years, officially 25 years, but more than that in the church, and that is Mr. George Robinson, the business manager, and I want to call upon Dr. McClellan to come at this time and recognize him.
I want to call on Mr. Robinson to come up right now because I want him to be properly embarrassed. So, George, up you come. I've known George Robinson for 40 years. As a matter of fact, it was 40 years ago this coming Sunday that we had our very first services of this congregation down on Cosburn Avenue in 1976. And if my memory is correct, George was there at those opening services on the 4th of July, 1976. Of the original 17 members that we had at our church, George is the only one that has left. All the rest of them have been promoted to glory and are at home with the Lord. But George is still with us. And I think he's a bit concerned because I have buried all the rest. And I think he thinks that I'm waiting for him to go so that I can bury him too. But we're not going to bury him today. George, as a young 20-year-old, was appointed by our board as the treasurer of the infant church. In 1976, we had as a church a bank balance of $5,000, which seemed to us a lot of money at the time. But in those days, the bookkeeping was quite simple because we didn't have that much to record. But now, 40 years later, with the church and the school, George has a major accounting job on his hands with over 40 on the staff and 240 students. In 1991, George was faced with a major decision in life, and that was either to accept a considerable promotion in the prominent clothing company for which he worked at the time, or to take up the church and school work full time. The time demands of both of those jobs were such that he could no longer do both jobs. But he prayed much at that time that the Lord would give him guidance and show him the way to go. The Lord speedily answered, and George felt led by the Lord to resign his job and become involved in the Lord's work here in full-time capacity. And the church board, of course, was delighted, and we employed him at that time in 1991 as the business manager. So from 1991... he has been intimately connected with the work and growth of the Whitfield Christian Schools. George has labored faithfully in the church for 40 years and in the Whitfield for 25 years, and he's done an excellent job. Many Christian schools have collapsed because of a failure to monitor their finances correctly, and they found themselves in difficult situations and had to close down. But we're blessed to have George keep a watchful eye on our resources and budget planning. And again, a major part of the task is to keep abreast of the continuing changing government regulations, which is a monumental task in itself. Now, tonight we want to pay a simple tribute to George's faithful labours as working in the Whitfield for these 25 years. His labours are very much appreciated, and we want him to know that his vital contribution has not been unnoticed, and so we want to give him a small token of our appreciation. We have a plaque for him, and we also have a gift to recognise his faithfulness. The plaque reads, Whitfield Christian Schools, presented to Mr. George Robinson in commemoration of 25 years of outstanding service at Whitfield Christian Schools. We thank God for your faithful dedication, a godly example, and love for the Lord. Hebrews 6 and 10, and that's the verse that tells us that the Lord is not forgetful of the labour of love that we show towards the work of God. So, George, we thank you, and we trust we'll have you for many more years, and you'll probably... he'll be at my funeral.
It is a delight to recognize these years of service and faithful ministry here at Whitfield, and along with the plaque, the 25-year teachers received a beautiful gift of a watch to mark their time served. I want to thank all our teachers. Actually, I would invite all our teachers to stand at this time. We want to recognize them as well. They're over here to my right, most of them. So much appreciate the labors of this group of people. We have a great team and great unity. They love the Lord. I have great respect for all of them, and so appreciate their devotion to Christ and their devotion to their students in this academic year. So thank you so much. Now we come to the time when we present the diplomas to the grade 12 graduates. So I'd ask the grade 12 graduating class to please stand. My joy to present these certificates. David Abdemelik, Ontario Scholar. Glenn Calica, Ontario Scholar. Kristen Chan, Ontario Scholar. Nathan Cunningham, Ontario Scholar. Samuel Hahn. Janice Hung. Kayona Karanakumar, Ontario Scholar. Justin Kang, Ontario Scholar. Carissa McKee. Matthew Mather, Ontario Scholar. Rashani Kumar, Ontario Scholar. Daniel Musa, Ontario Scholar. Abigail Rajaratnam, Ontario Scholar. Exalta Rodriguez, Ontario Scholar. Christine Salazar, Ontario Scholar. Claire Stirrett, Ontario Scholar. Angela Tomilleri. John Tiamazon. Keola Welsh Rooms, Ontario Scholar. Anna Wong, Ontario Scholar. Let's give them one final big round of applause. I would ask the graduates to be seated. Well done. We have a surprise for them. It's not in your program. We have a special solo tonight. Our music teacher, Mrs. Dispute, is going to come and sing at this time, "Go to the World for the Sake of His Name," accompanied by Miss Jew.
The song I'm going to be singing tonight, "For the Sake of His Name," is a very special song that has been sung at many Whitfield graduations. And it's such a special song because of the powerful lyrics that it has. So my hope is that as I sing this tonight, and you think about the lyrics, that you are blessed and inspired by their message. Go to the world for the sake of His name, to every nation His glory proclaim. Pray that the Spirit wise will open darkened eyes, granting new life to display Jesus' face. Jesus' power, preach Christ to the lost. For Jesus' glory, count all else but loss. Gather
every place, trophies of sovereign grace. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus Christ. Love the unloved for the sake of his name. Like Christ, befriend those whose heads hang in shame. Jesus did not condemn, but was condemned for them. Trust gospel power, for we once were the same. In Jesus' power, preach Christ to the lost. For Jesus' glory, count all else but loss. Gather from every place trophies of sovereign grace. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus Christ. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Mrs. Dispute. Such a timely message for our graduates, and I have to confess, I laid hands on her suddenly at the very last after the school play, hearing her sing and participate. I prevailed upon her to sing that for our graduating class tonight, and so thankful that she did. I'm going to ask Mrs. Saunders to come now at this time and present the special awards for the grade 12 class.
Well, folks, tonight it is my privilege to honor the grade 12 class of 2016. And as you heard, almost all of our graduates are Ontario Scholars, for which we thank the Lord. That is a commendable achievement awarded to students who have obtained an average of at least 80% in their grade 12 courses. I have behind me a group of students, and if there was a Good Kid Award, every single one of them would get it. Most of these graduates have been with us for a very long time, and some of them for their whole academic life. Last week, you enjoyed them in our school play, Once Upon a Fairy Tale, and all but one of our graduates had a significant part in that production. And I would just like to start tonight by giving an honorable mention to those who worked so hard to bring us such a wonderful production. And while I commend all of the students for their excellent work on stage and backstage, the audience may remember a few characters with a larger role and maybe not so recognizable tonight in all their finery. So I just thought for a moment, and please hold your applause, that we would make a few of them just stand so you can see what they look like in reality. We have Hamish McPhee from Scotland. So Hamish, if you would stand so they can get a look at you. And Don Diego and Pedro, the Mexicans. Cruella. Cruella, the villain. Cringeworthy. Princess Zinnia and Queen Hecuba. And so I think they deserve a clap for what they did. It is the Outstanding Academic Achievement Award, and every year Whitfield honors students in the grade 12 year who have earned an overall average of 95% or higher. And this year, it's a very unusual year, but this year we have seven students who have reached 95%. And I would ask you just to hold your applause for a moment so that each one of them can have recognition. But I'm just going to read the seven names, and I would ask you folks to come down. And that is David Abdelmalek. Hang on. Just hold on a moment, okay? I know it's very exciting. Kristen Chen, Justin Kang, Matthew Mather, Daniel Musa, Abigail Rajaratnam, and Christine Salazar. I'd also just like to say that two of these students earned an incredible average of 97%, and they are taking all the maths and the sciences, the very difficult subjects, and they are Justin King and Daniel Musa. Just wanted to let you know the actual average. The second award is for sportsmanship, and it's not necessarily an annual one, but sometimes there are students who deserve very special mention and recognition for not only participating enthusiastically, but are able to accept defeat, as well as encourage teammates in whatever team events are conducted at the school. This includes track and field, as well as intramural games throughout the year. And the physical educational instructors have asked that the 2016 award be given to John T. Amazon. Next award is called the Van der Waal Award, and it is given in memory of a former beloved teacher, Mrs. Johan Van der Waal, by her family. This is a monetary award which honors a student or students who have persevered well in their high school career, maintaining a steadfast commitment to the work despite sometimes challenging circumstances. The staff unanimously cast their votes in favor of two students who have worked valiantly to achieve their diplomas, but also donated much volunteer time to their school and never received one demerit slip in their high school career. And this combination of virtues is found in the winners of the Van der Waal Award for 2016, two honorable young people who have proved that hard work, determination, and perseverance can make a difference. And it gives me great pleasure to present these awards to Janice Hung and Samuel Hahn. Volunteering is something that we encourage at Whitfield, and while each of the students have engaged in much volunteering, one student has gone beyond the call of duty and volunteered extensively within the school campus. And one important part of that volunteering has been establishing a French library in the French department, which has been done single-handedly by her. And tonight we would like to recognize the many hours of Kayona Karunakumar. Thank you. like to call upon our music teacher, Mrs. Ariella Spute, to give the next award for music.
The Music Award is presented to a grade 12 student who has achieved a 90% or higher grade average in music class, along with demonstrating a great understanding, talent, and skill in all aspects of music. The student receiving this award tonight has made an enormous contribution to the music program in the last 3 years that I have been teaching here. In class, she demonstrates exemplary musicianship on her instrument, playing with technical accuracy and moving musicality. She has done very well in all theory and history taught in class, and has also shown a keen ability to compose and arrange music. She is not only an excellent instrumentalist, however, as she is also an exceptional singer. Outside of class time, she has participated in every Christmas and spring concert as a part of both the collegiate band and choir. She has sung several solos with the collegiate choir, and more recently in the school play that we had last week, which we have all had the benefit of listening to. As an overall wonderful instrumentalist, singer, and composer, it is with great pleasure that I present the 2016 Music Award to Miss Keola Welch-Rand.
Congratulations, Keola. Our foremost and final award is very special to us. It is the Grace Tofik Award, given in loving memory of our former beloved student, Grace Tofik, who passed away in her grade 10 year and is with the Lord today. Grace was a beautiful girl with a beautiful testimony, and the Grace Tofik Award honors not only exemplary citizenship, but spiritual leadership among the student body. We asked our grade 12s and our collegiate staff members to nominate a candidate. The result was unquestionably unanimous by both, and there are two students receiving this award for 2016, as each was committed to encouraging fellow students to honor the Lord at the student prayer meetings and many other endeavors which encourage spiritual development. These are not the only spiritual students in our grade 12 class, I hasten to add, but these are they who took extra time to build up others amid a very demanding schedule. The same students also were not ashamed to honor Christ and his word to their peers and to the staff members. And tonight, I am delighted to present the Grace Tofik Award for the graduating class of 2016 to Glenn Calica and Justin King. Our grade 12 class will be leaving us tonight, and they have new places that they will be going in September. They have made their choices. Please pray for our graduates that beyond all else that they do, that they would keep their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to honor him first. And just in closing, I just want to tell you where they are going just by simply reading out their names, the course they have chosen, and the institution. David Abdul Malik, Kinesiology, UOIT. Daya Abraham, Criminology, UOIT. Glenn Calica, Computer Science, Bob Jones University, USA. Kristen Chen, Chemistry, Waterloo. Nathan Cunningham, Biomedical Science, Liberty University, USA. Samuel Hahn, Hotel Operations Management, George Brown College, Janice Hung, Animal Care, Durham College, Kiona Karunakumar, Public Policy, University of Toronto, Scarborough, Justin Kang, Nursing, McGill University, Roshani Kumar, Social Sciences, University of Toronto, Scarborough, Matthew Mather, Engineering, Waterloo, Carissa McKee, Community Justice Services, Centennial College, Daniel Musa, following his brother with dentistry, Queen's University, Belfast, Northern Ireland, Abigail Rajaratnam, Psychology, University of Toronto, Scarborough, Exalta Rodriguez, Nursing, University of Ontario, UOIT, Institute of Technology, Christine Salazar, Global Management, University of Toronto, Scarborough, Claire Sterrett, Communication, UOIT, Angela Tomilleri, Nursing, Durham College, John Tiamazon, Electrical Engineering, UOIT, Keola Welsh-Rooms, English, Ryerson, Anna Wong, Nursing, UOIT, and someone that's been working with us this year, even though she graduated last year, Leah Zila, Kinesiology, U of T, St. George Campus, downtown. Thank you.
We congratulate all our young people. Now it's time for our valedictorian speech. I'm going to call upon Mr. Daniel Musa to come and make that speech.
Good evening. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out to celebrate our graduation with us tonight. I know you've all heard tons of valedictory speeches before, so you're probably well acquainted with the definition of success from Oxford's dictionary, so I'll spare you that part. I actually can't believe we're here right now. I mean, I feel like it was just a couple of weeks ago we were all in grade 8, sitting in the high school orientation as some then grade 12s were telling us what it would be like to join the collegiate. That being said, I think I can speak for the whole class when I say it's about time for the summer break. I mean, to quote one Mr. Cooper, we were more tired than Michelin. But just like every year, the work always looks impossible until it's done. Attending at Whitfield has been a great privilege and a huge blessing in my life, as I'm sure it was to almost every single person sitting behind me. We've shared unforgettable moments, overcome adversities, and done things in our time here that we'll likely be telling our children about someday. But none of the amazing times we had could have been possible without a certain group of people. You know who I'm talking about. The people that come in every morning to try and educate often ungrateful students. The people that invested their lives into our growth. The people that taught us during the day and spent their evenings marking our work because they knew that some of us would likely complain if our marks weren't ready on time, not to mention anyone in specific. Our teachers. The things they do for us are truly remarkable. So I'd like to take a moment to address some of them individually. Mr. Gomez, it truly amazes me that despite the fact that you teach some of the hardest courses, we still love being in your class. You have a talent for engaging your students while simultaneously dropping some deep philosophical lines that can double as motivational quotes to be put on a t-shirt. For example, one day in class, Mr. Gomez looked to David and said, "With you, it's not the IQ, it's the I will." That's definitely something I'd wear across my chest. So, yeah, your classes were great, and I hope that everyone enjoyed them as much as I did. Miss Fernandez, you're always smiling. Whether it's raining or snowing, whether it's sunny or cloudy, whether it's Monday or Friday, whether it's 40 degrees over or 40 degrees under, whether you're commending us for having done our work or giving us a detention for having neglected it, whether the people of Britain hashtag vote stay or hashtag vote leave, whether it's Trump or Hillary, whether the ketchup is on the fries or on the side, whether the dress is black and blue or white and gold, whether they find Dory or not, You're always smiling, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Grade 12 chemistry isn't a fun course by any stretch of the word, but your happy disposition made it that much easier to sit in class and take notes off your film projector. Mr. Tors, when we found out that Mr. Bartz wasn't going to be teaching the grade 12 philosophy class, I must admit, we weren't the happiest of campers. But that said, after this year, I truly can't imagine anyone doing a better job at teaching the course than you did. Another thing that I noticed is your knowledge of random facts is so impressive. One day in class, Mr. Tors, he was sitting there, he was teaching, and we had a few minutes off, so I asked him what the difference between alligators and crocodiles was, and off the top of his head, he gave me four differences and compared snout shape, size, teeth appearance, and habitat. Like, so, who knows that? This year's philosophy class was a learning experience that I would not have received anywhere else, so thank you. Dr. Tors, where is she? I don't see her. But it genuinely amazes me that Dr. Tors, a practicing doctor, comes to school 3 days a week to teach the grade 11 and 12 biology classes. Her knowledge of the subject material is so thorough, which isn't something that you really get with regular high school teachers. The people in the class now really can't imagine what it would have been like taking the course without a teacher as knowledgeable as she is. We appreciate every single minute that she spent teaching us. Mrs. Browett, I didn't get a chance to take any of your courses this year, but I remember them well enough from previous years to comment on your diligence. That's diligence in everything you do at the school, whether it's the courses you teach, or extra help sessions you offer, or extracurricular activities that you host. Diligence like I've never seen it before. You're a classic example of putting your heart into all of your work. Mrs. Peterman. Aside from the work that you put into our English course, I think the reason that our class appreciates you so much is that you masterfully blur the line between teacher and friend. I don't think it's very easy to do that while maintaining the structure of the class, but your ability to do so is what kept us going through the year. For all the people who weren't in our grade 12 English class this year, Mrs. Peterman would reward us for coming up with puns by giving us candy bunnies, or punnies, if you will. Yes, that's a pun. Yes, I'll collect my candy after the ceremony. To add on to that, this year Mrs. Peterman and Ms. Ju started and ran the Student Activities Council, which is no minor task. They made this year incredible, so thank you both so much. Mr. Cleland. Although detentions are meant to be a punishment, I must admit that I enjoyed the few afternoons I walked around the school with you, picking up trash and talking about the Raptors. I know you can't tell because I'm wearing a gown, but I promise my shirt is tucked in. I'm going to miss your clever jokes and one-liners, and if you have to know that if I'm ever in a place where I need to ask for a volunteer, I'm definitely going to ask for a volun happy. Mr. Sterrett, thanks for being the coolest principal I've ever had and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to teach the grade 12 Bible course just so that you could make sure we get the best education possible. It's much appreciated. Dr. Saunders, thank you so much for continuously teaching us the Word of God every single week. From the time when we were young children up until the end of high school, I'm never going to forget all those times when you preached from the Word and taught us that it was the most important thing in our lives. That's a gift that's greater than anything else you could have given us, so thank you. And all of this couldn't possibly be complete without saying something about Mrs. Saunders. I think all my classmates would agree that Mrs. Saunders is the most, and for years has been the most, irreplaceable person in our collegiate. She didn't teach us grade 12 subjects like the other teachers. Her job revolved around helping us plan our futures. She walked us through high school from our first day in the collegiate until the last. From course selection to university applications, Mrs. Saunders held our hands through every last step of the process and is now here to see us all off. Your genuine care for all the students who have walked the halls of our school is apparent for all to see. We felt cared for, and I know that not all people get to experience that in their schooling. I personally had a lot to ask of her. Applications to international schools aren't simple by any means, and I realize how difficult it would have been without her. And throughout it all, she displayed the character of one who truly follows in the footsteps of Jesus. Thank you a million times. I'd also like to say thank you to the people that taught us and coached us from home when our teachers weren't teaching us and coaching us from school. To our parents, we will never be able to repay you for the love that you put in our hearts, for the word of God that you impressed in our lives, for the sleepless nights when you worried about us, for the tears that you shed on our behalf, for inconveniencing yourselves just to send us to a school where the fear of the Lord is taught. Despite seeming ungrateful at times or making it appear as though the things you do for us go unnoticed, I'd like you to know that we love you, and we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you guys. And to my own parents, I'm forever indebted to you. I believe that a lesson taught is so much more effective if the teachers use the evidence of that lesson in their own lives to teach. And that's how you raised me, by your example. You taught me sacrificial love through your sacrificial love. You taught me wisdom and discernment through your wisdom and discernment. You taught me determination and commitment through your determination and commitment. You gave me lives that I can model my own life after, and I'd need a lot more time than I have right now to tell you of all the gratitude for the blessing that you've been in my life. And, of course, a final thank you goes out to my boys. I thought they banned these guys when they came on stage last year. In this graduating class, we have some very promising futures represented. We have two doctors, a management engineer, an electrical engineer, three nurses, an animal care specialist, two lawyers, a chemist, a Christian psychologist, a marketing executive, a hotel manager, a public relations specialist, a teacher, a surgeon, a pastor, and a dentist. Now, that sounds like a very successful group of people, if you ask me. Let's give them all a hand. Now that you all know a little bit about where this graduating class is headed, I'd like to address the finely dressed ladies and gentlemen sitting behind me. We're all leaving here, and in a sense, it's a sad time, but whether you want to be going or not, the truth of the matter is that this is happening. For many of us, we're going to be on our own for the first time in our lives. Speaking from the accounts of some of the alumni that I've spoken to, it's going to be a long year of rationing clothing to maximize time between washes and microwaving frozen food until it's a pristine scalding on the edges and still frozen solid in the middle. The changes won't be limited to the studying getting harder either. We'll have to learn to be independent. We'll have to learn to not just manage schoolwork, but living conditions and social lives as well if there's to be a shot at success, which, by the way, if you've forgotten, is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. We're going to leave the teachers that genuinely care about us and be met by professors who, in many cases, don't see us as anything more than one of many nameless students in an overfilled lecture hall. And I know these may sound like just perpetuated stereotypes, and that is partially true, but the transition is very real and very difficult for some. For this reason, I'd like to impart on you, some of my best friends in the world, a few words of wisdom to remember in the coming years, despite where you go. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You will be tempted more than you ever have in your life to be anxious, to worry, to panic. Being distraught may at times feel to be the only option, and yet it won't be. The truth is that if we are children of God as we have been taught to be, raised to be, there will be a hope in us that surpasses all anxiety. The reality of life is that the more you focus on your problems, the less of anything else you'll be able to see. Think of it this way. If you're standing in front of a brick wall, the closer you get to the wall, the less you'll be able to see of anything else. The more you dwell on your issues, the less you'll be able to see of the big picture, namely the fact that your life is set firmly in a God who is greater than your issues. We believe in an almighty God who created the universe, a God who clothed the sky with stars, a God whom even the winds and the waves obey. And so what I'm trying to say is that if life ever gets you worried, if you're ever anxious, make like a popsicle and chill. The second thing I'd like to tell you is work as hard as you possibly can. Everything worth doing is worth doing well because nothing in life that's worth having comes easily. You're going to have to grit your teeth and get in the dirt, and when you feel like giving up, that's when you've got to push harder than you ever have before because perseverance is only learned through the pain of hard work. Without a doubt, you will experience challenges greater than you have faced till this day. And yet, you're going to be better equipped to face them because you learn to endure in hardship. So I exhort you with the words that Paul wrote to Timothy. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because then and only then, you will be ready to face the challenges of life. I truly will miss you all. I'm going to be joining my brother to study in Northern Ireland next year. It's around 5,000 kilometers away from this place I call home. And yet I'll never forget the people who shaped me into who I am today. It's kind of weird being up here. I've been preparing for my speech for quite a while now, but I guess you can't prepare for the way you're going to feel. In closing, as the prudent Peter Pan once said, never say goodbye, because goodbye means going away, and going away means forgetting. So instead of saying goodbye, I wish you all the best of luck, and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, Daniel, the preaching dentist. For that interesting, genuine, and amusing perspective, and we trust the students will take those words with them and will take heed to them. We've had a long night, but we come to an important time. Pastor Olson is going to bring the challenge to the students, but before he does, I want to give you a change of position. Let's stand. We're going to sing a couple of verses of this hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. As we sing, the graduates will come down to the front. Let's sing the first verse and the last verse, Take My Life. To invite Pastor Olson to come and bring the challenge to the students. Pastor Olson has been with us for quite a few years now. This year has been teaching grade 9 and 10 Bible along with world religions, and it is my pleasure to invite him to bring the challenge.
It's going to be tough to follow Don Diego. But we'll see what we can do. Dr. McClelland, Dr. Saunders, Mr. Sterrett, members of the faculty and staff, family and friends, graduates, I thank you for this opportunity, the privilege you've given me to address you this evening, an evening that is for our graduates a pivotal event. I feel very strongly my duty as a minister of the gospel to open the word and to apply the word as I would in any other preaching opportunity, rather than share my own opinions or thoughts. On the other hand, as a graduation speaker, I feel a certain responsibility to be, what is the word? Brief, I think, is the word. And to those ends, I will address myself to the graduates. I will focus my attention on the robed young people in front of me. The rest of you can listen in and draw application to your own different life situations. And I want to begin, graduates, by asking a rather pointed question, which I hope then to answer from Scripture. The question is, just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? A few years ago, an English teacher in a prestigious New England school created a bit of a stir by telling graduates that they were not special, not what was expected to be heard at a graduation ceremony. And he proceeded gently to mock certain participation ribbons and pats on the back for every decent paper written, every B on a test. He made a point. You are not special, he said. But then he did go on to say that these young people had opportunity to take part in ordinary tasks and make the world a better place. This English teacher, his name is David McCullough Jr. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's on to something. He's on to the idea that there is a certain kind of smallness that ennobles us. There is a smallness that humiliates us, to be mocked, to be belittled. There is a smallness that makes us feel worthless. But there is another kind of smallness which actually ennobles us. The kind of smallness you feel when you look up into the starry heavens and realize how grand the universe is and how small you are in comparison to it. When on a Sunday morning the word penetrates your heart and you remember again how great God is and how small you are, that's a kind of smallness that ennobles you, that actually lifts you up, that actually causes you to reach after the good things that God has for you. A great place for that kind of ennobling smallness is the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is a book characterized by a vision of the big story. Not all of the little pieces and events, as important as those are, but the big story, the grand drama in which God himself is the storyteller. Ephesians is a great place for that. And I think it is good on an occasion such as this for us to step back and remember the big story. We have to do that from time to time, and particularly in transition points in life, we need to step back and remember the big story. Ephesians does this with two great themes, it seems to me. One theme is the greatness, grace, and glory of God. God is great. God is gracious, God is glorious, and he's doing all things for his own honor. This is part of the teaching of the book of Ephesians. The reformer John Calvin spoke of the universe as the theater of God, in which God unfolds in his story just how great and gracious and glorious he is. I want to read to you from the first chapter of Ephesians. You've probably heard these words many times, but try for a moment to listen as if you had never heard these before. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." In verse 11, Paul describes the beloved, that is Jesus, as the one in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now there's a lot of theology packed into those words. But let me draw your attention simply to a few basic repeated ideas here. Notice in this text how he emphasizes the greatness, the glory, and the grace of God. Blessed be God, to the praise of the glory of His grace, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, to the praise of His glory. And he says that one twice. In chapter 2, Paul goes on, having spoken of the grace that brings us from death to life, to say that one of God's purposes is to show in ages to come the exceeding riches of His grace. All that He is doing, all that He has done to bless you, all that He will do for you, He is doing to draw attention and honor to Himself, that He be given the worship and the honor that He deserves. In other words, graduates, the big story is not all about you. It's all about Him. And yet, notice how He displays His greatness and His grace and His glory in these texts. He does it by being good to you. You're good. And His glory are intertwined in the big story. It's not about you, it's about Him. And yet, the way that He draws attention to Himself is by being good to you. This is how He tells the universe, I am great, worship me. Look how I lavish gifts on my children. Look at what I do to save them from their sin. Look at the inheritance I give them. Even the angels are in awe of what He has done and will do for you. It's not about you, and yet that's not a belittling realization. That's an ennobling one. That's one that lifts you up to know that the God of the universe, the God who made it all in 6 days, the God who parted the Red Sea, that God, the one who says through Isaiah, there is none else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Look unto me all the ends of the earth and be saved. That God, He honors Himself by doing good to you. This is an amazing realization. It is in that framework that we understand the double glory of the redemption that is ours in Christ. It honors God, and it also makes the sinner capable of appreciating God's glory and then speaking of it to others. It honors God and it changes the sinner. It is in this context that we understand passages like Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Now you've heard me and you've heard my wife speak about this text a couple of times already. But as my grade 11s can tell you, I believe that repetition is the mother of propaganda. I mean learning. If you will delight in the Lord, He will give you Himself. If you will delight in the Lord, if He is your chief desire, then He grants your desires. When you want what God wants you to want, you get what you want. You won't read that in a systematic theology book, but I assure you it's true that when you want what God wants you to want, you get what you want. Amen. If you desire the Lord, He will change your desires because it pleases Him to do you good. It is in this context that we understand Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It is in that context that we understand Romans 8:18, where Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. God is great and glorious and gracious, and He's showing it to the universe, to the ages to come, and even to the angels in you, in doing you good. In that big story, in that intertwining of God's glory and your good, the main character, the hero, for those who did reasonably well in their literature class, the protagonist is Jesus Christ. So it's not surprising that another major theme in the book of Ephesians is finding our identity in Him, the believer's new identity in Christ. There's a lot of before and after in Ephesians, and that's because we find our identity in Christ. Before we were in Christ, we were that, but now that we are in Christ, we are something altogether different, and we continue to be changed into something different. Before and after is a major feature of a certain kind of advertising, but advertisers very rarely fail to deliver what they promise. God is not so. God delivers what he promises, and he delivers more. And in the book of Ephesians, we're told, for example, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're made alive. We were by nature children of wrath, but now we have a place of privilege. And this is all because of our identity in Christ. What does it mean, this having your identity in Christ? It means that what he has done, who he is, and what he has done, these are the things that determine what you are becoming. These are the things that set your agenda. These are the things that change your values. The phrases in Christ, in him, with Christ, in the Lord, these appear more than a dozen times in Ephesians because for the believer, it's all about who we are in Christ and not about who we were before Christ. Not who we are in the old man, but who we are in Christ. It may be that there are one or two or more of you who have not yet trusted Christ. And I want to say tonight, there's no reason not to trust him tonight. Just because you have heard him presented over and over again in assemblies and have not yet received him does not mean that tonight is too late. If you're breathing, you have another opportunity. It may be that a few of you have not yet embraced Christ. And I want to say to you very plainly that if you will trust in him and him alone, he will give to you his perfect righteousness, and your sins will have been taken away and forgiven. The great exchange, it's called. You give him all of your rottenness and your wickedness and your rebellion, and he gives you his perfect righteousness. And not only so, not only will he change your status before the justice, before the bar of God's justice, not only will he justify you, not only will he forgive you and make you right, but he will begin to change your character as well. And not only so, but he promises that what he begins, he'll complete. And one day, he will present you, and he will present you faultless. He will present you made in the image of Christ. We are promised this. If you would turn tonight to Christ and receive him tonight, you would put everything else we do this evening in the shade. Nothing else would matter compared to that, as important as these other proceedings are. But I assume that I am speaking mostly to brothers and sisters tonight. You need to understand as you leave this auditorium tonight that the answer to who do you think you are is, I'm a Christian. I belong to Christ. And everything else you might ask about my choices in education, my choices in relationships, my choices in labor, my choices even in entertainment, all of that somehow ought to relate to the fact that I am Christ's, that I belong to him, I'm united to him. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a pivot point with the word therefore. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are all about how we walk in light of the truths we've learned in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it's not my purpose tonight to unpack all of that application, but I simply want to remind you that it all comes out of knowing that you are defined by Christ and what he has done for you and no longer by the old man. All of the issues of walking, of the day-to-day life, they all come out of your identity in Christ. So who do you think you are? If you're a Christian, you belong to Christ, and you ought to devote your life to knowing him better and making him better known. Amen. Whatever else you do, know him better and make him better known. Grade eights, for the next 4 years, your lives will be devoted in great measure to learning, to education. Or at least persuading your parents that you are devoted to learning and education. And that's worthwhile, but not nearly as important as knowing Christ and making him known. Know your mathematics. and your English and your French. Know all of those things, but know Christ. Let your neighbors and your friends and your lost family members, let them know all sorts of things about you, but make sure they know about Christ. Make Him known and know Him yourself. To those who will be leaving this institution, you're all pursuing paths that will require a lot of brain energy. I don't, for myself, miss the endless weeks of ramen noodles and the tests and exams and papers, but take up the task. Take it up with zeal. Take it up with all of your might. Do it to the best of your ability, but above that even, know Christ and make Him known. The knowledge of Christ is always the highest attainment. As you're doing those studies, you'll be thinking about the various labors you'll go into. I mean labor in the sense of earning a living. By all means, find your gifts, hone your talents, pick up the knowledge, get out there and serve your fellow human beings with those various callings. But above all, know Christ and make Him known. Those of you who are leaving this institution will soon be weighing very important relationship decisions. But the most fundamental principle in all of a Christian's relationships is that a relationship is an opportunity to model Christ, to serve Christ, and to make Christ known. In your friendships, in your work relationships, in your classrooms, in the marriages that God will have for many of you, these are all opportunities to model Christ, to serve Christ, to make Christ known. Who do you think you are? If you're a Christian, that's all determined by who is Christ and what has He done. And there could be no greater aspiration than to make Him known and to know Him yourself. Know Christ. Make Him known. If you don't do anything else, and I hope you will, but if you don't do anything else, know Christ and make Him known. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Olson. That's what we call a reality check. The awards, the presentations, they are nice, but at the end of the day, I've said to the grade 12 students in assembly, if you have everything but Christ, you have nothing. If you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. Take Him with you. Take heed to that word. It's been a long night. It's been a great night. And a special night for these students and their families, and I would ask you to stand with me now as we conclude. We'd have our president, Dr. McClelland, close in prayer, and then the recessional.
Let's all pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for this happy time. And we thank Thee, our Father, for all these students who have graduated. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the industry shown throughout the year. And we pray now as we come to this portion and this time in life that Thou would bless each one of them. We think, Lord, especially of the grade 12s as they go out into the world. Oh God, as they have heard tonight, may they make sure that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they go forward into this world, because without the Lord, they're heading for disaster. But we thank Thee, O God, that Thou dost lead Thy people and Thy children, and there's no better way of living life than to live it in the hands of the Lord our God. And so we commend them to Thee, and we pray that wherever they go, whatever university or school they go to, that Thou would go with them. And especially as they face the challenges from the world, the flesh, and the devil, we pray that the things that they've learned here from Thy word, that stay with them. And Father, we pray that Thou would make them mighty for the cause of the Lord Jesus, that they would know the Lord Jesus and make Him known. Be with us now, we pray, and part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.